I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Falk.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Lincoln City 1, Wigan Athletic 2. What a day yesterday, were, and what a result. And what a goal.
What, two goals?
I was just going to say which one.
Oh, three of them. Not discounting the three disallowed goals as well. In total, we saw six goals yesterday. Three of them didn't count. I thought we played with a lot of freedom.
That was one of our best wins of the season, I think. There's been a lot of games this season where I think we've played quite flat. And especially when you look at the Reading game. When we played against Reading, they had a bit of a bounce to them. And I think we spoke about it as every player looked a little bit up for it. And I think Wigan looked like that yesterday. Every player had a bounce and we moved the ball really well, especially for the first goal. We moved the ball so well. Every pass was pretty much perfect. Every placement of the ball was perfect. And we played some really good stuff yesterday, which was surprising against a Lincoln City side who'd only conceded one goal at home in the last nine games. And then we turn up and do two essentially goal of the season contenders. A little bit of Wigan magic in there.
Yeah, they haven't been beat for 100 and some days, isn't it? And then have that 2-1.
New Year's Day, 14 games last time. This taste of defeat. I'll tell you what I thought as well. We moved the ball about a lot more effectively, efficiently and quickly across our back line. Curran Hughes played exceptionally well together. And Pierce supplemented it, and Sessegnon Young on the other side as well.
You got to mention Babradiko as well. I think that that was one of his best games of the season, and you can tell that he's a lot more confident moving the ball out of the defence, more into the attacking phases with that extra body in the midfield. It gave him a little bit more of a passing outlet, and we could just cut through them a lot nicer. And it reminded me a bit of the Carlisle game at Brunton Park earlier in the season, where Adiko got the ball from the defence, turned and ran. And when he fed through Charlie Wyke, and he was doing the same sort of passes out to Godo or out to Johnny Smith. So Babradiko was a huge outlet for us yesterday.
It was indeed. And I noticed then, Charlie, you mentioned about having an extra body in midfield. And it's something I've been saying about. But we still lined up with the two central midfielders in Adiko and Matty Smith. But Tom Pearce was moving inside quite regularly. And if we look at our first goal, as Hughes brought it out, he's played a 1-2 with a central midfield player. And at the time, I was thinking, who's that? I've watched the replays today on the Latitz TV channel. Lo and behold, it's Tom Pearce. And he was central in the team shape, weren't he? I just thought it'd give us a little bit more to us, having that, like you said, that extra man in the middle.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really a coincidence that our wing-backs or full-backs, however you want to describe them, are moving into the infield. I think it's very coordinated, very orchestrated. And Sean Clare does it, like in the Charlton game when he's at left centre mid. That's not an accident. That's deliberately, he's been told to do that. And I think Tom Pearce yesterday was deliberately told to be there. If he wasn't there, Stephen Sessegnon was looking at cutting inside and trying to get forward. But even Charlie Hughes as well, he was having the license to get forward. For our first goal, he was playing up against the centre-backs of Lincoln because he'd done the nice little move, ran forward and carried on going forward, trying to drag players out of defence. So everything yesterday seemed a little more orchestrated than we've usually seen recently.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, where when it works, it's easier to see. When it doesn't work, because the odd pass goes astray, there'll be people making these runs into positions that they don't receive the ball. You just forget that they went there. Whereas when they get the ball and move it on and it's part of a build-up to a goal especially, you see it multiple times. You're like, oh, yeah, look, Tom Pearce is cutting into midfield. Oh, look, Sessegnon's in midfield. You probably find that if you go back and look at older coverage, they've tried to do it before and just not been spotted.
Well, funny you should say that, Paul. But if we go back 5 minutes in the game prior to that goal, one of the instrumental things I thought was Telawasgard's position and the way he found Johnny Smith. 5 minutes earlier, we did almost an identical move coming out, and Johnny Smith had an effort at the end of it then as well, and the goalkeeper managed to gather that one. It's almost as though we've been working on it in training.
Almost as though. The management team know exactly what they're doing, and it's just not been coming off in the last few weeks against the lesser teams, because despite the efforts of the management team, the players are just, I won't use the B word, but the players are not quite as focused as they might otherwise be.
That first Johnny Smith chance that you're talking about, it was started by Matt Smith, who was sat a little bit deeper, a bit like your more quarterback role, I think we've been describing it as. And then the midfield link-up was with Stephen Sessegnon, and that's very similar to what the Tom Pearce one was. just after it. So Stephen Sessegnon had the link up. He was the one that played it to Johnny Smith. And again, he cut in onto his left and had the shot, very much like the Barnsley goal that he scored. And then obviously the goal that he scored a couple of minutes later. So again, it was all very orchestrated. And I think you're right that they've definitely been trying to work on it more recently. And if Stephen Sessegnon can do that, and he's on another one-year contract, Tom Pearce is out of contract in the summer. Gregor Rioch was praising him quite highly on the comms, saying he's a very nice lad. He loves his left foot, a great free kick taker, reads the game very well, and he's matured. So that could give a bit of an indication as to whether Tom Pearce might get a contract in the summer.
Well, let's hope he does, because I know he's had his injury problems, but surely, because at some point he's got to have an injury-free season, hasn't he? You know, and it would be our luck if he left. That'd be the season he has it. So he's a very good player at this level, isn't he, Tom Pearce? A very good player.
I mean, the only thing I would add to that is, you look, when he got his last contract, he was kind of proving that at this level. And then since then, he's struggled with injuries, hasn't he? Had quite a bit of time out. You almost kind of wait until the end of this contract for him to start to find that form. And like you just said, Barry, you know, it'd be just our bloody luck to let him go and then he has another breakthrough season somewhere else. Let's keep him. Let's wrap him up in cotton wool. Let's have him mature here and improve his value while he's with us, and then move on.
We saw his worth to us when he was in an administration season. He was top assister. This season, he started the season off with the most assists in the division, not just at the Latics. So it shows his value and his value to us. But yesterday, I thought he had a very, very good game, as did most of the team. We'll look at the team for yesterday. Tittle, Sessegnon, Kerr used Pearce, Adiko Smith, Matt Smith, that is. And then we had Johnny Smith, Tello Asgard, Marshall Godot, with Charlie Kelman up front. I felt a bit sorry for yesterday. He seemed isolated to some degree. There was a lot of balls around him, but nothing directly to him. And I think he was getting frustrated at times. But, I mean, the lads were playing really well, and I liked how we were playing. But I tell you what, he worked his socks off, did Charlie Kelman.
Yeah, I think it's the difference in how direct we play against a defensive line. And I think Lincoln played a bit more of a back three, and we tried to do the wing play more often. And so it did become quite congested for Kelman, but that doesn't take away from the role he was doing. He was working them very well, and he was creating the space for Asgard to try and get in, and the Marshall Godot to get in, and Johnny Smith. So I think as a team player, Kelman did very well yesterday. And I think he was a bit unlucky when he got brought off, but he did pretty well yesterday, I think, overall.
I mentioned it to my son, who was with us yesterday at the game, that to me, it was a bit like cannon fodder. He'd been cannon fodder because he was doing all that running. And they took him off and they brought another one on in Chris C, who give you that exact same amount of energy, closing down the defenders, which is what we wanted. And I thought Chris C had a good game when he came on. He was very aggressive, weren't he, in his challenges. It was really good to watch. And listening to Sean Maloney's comments at the end of the game, saying that we'd seemed to plateau after we played Blackpool and we got the points, you know, the targets that we'd had this season, and it was difficult to get the players up for it. But he was been pleased with how we responded at Charlton and yesterday. And I thought yesterday's game, I mean, it's not surprising that when we've played the top sides, look at our big results this season. Derby, we won away. Bolton, home and away. Peterborough, home and away. We should have beat Barnsley away. We scored a legitimate goal that got called off. So the big teams, the form teams, we've been playing really well, which automatically get you fired up. It's just, I think we've cruised all season in most of the games. But yesterday was certainly a game we didn't. And something else I loved about Sean Maloney's post-game speech was the beaming smile on his face when he was talking about, especially that first goal. I just thought, this is how he wants us to play. This is what he's working on. This is how he's trying to get us to play. We've got to be patient with him, because things like that don't come overnight.
And when you can break through from there like that, people that moan about us knocking it across the back, shut up moaning, don't they? Because you get goals like that where you can break out, pass it through the midfield, and people are moving forward. It's something that I think they always wanted to do, but there's just that bit of caution. And, you know, this time of season, we've achieved the main goal and we just get that bit of freedom. And it's the freedom coupled with the effort that suddenly gives you that lovely football to watch. Or we could just say the clocks have gone forward and we've turned into Wigan.
Yeah, I think at the end of the game, Maloney, I think, was just, it was like a big sigh of relief for him. And to me, it almost came across as like, we're going to be all right. And I think when you look at the starting lineup yesterday, Hellman and Godo are the only ones that we've got in on loan. The rest of them are Wigan Athletic players through and through. Some of them obviously out of contract. But if you take Godo out of that side, next season we could have Jordan Jones, who's been one of our better players this season. And then if you take Kelman out of that side, Josh Stones will probably be playing there next season. So then I think when you're looking at next season and Sean Maloney is a bit of a sigh of relief. I think we are going to be all right because if we can play that good yesterday and we've got like-for-like players being able to come in and play for us next season, who knows where we can go. But Gregor Rijk's full-time thoughts after the win as well. He said, "I'm extremely proud to see that performance from all the players. It shows a real team spirit at the football club and togetherness that Sean Maloney has with the team. We've come out winners and I think deservedly so." So I think there was just a big pleasure in that performance from everybody involved in the club.
I'm a big fan of this possession football. I really am. I was a fan of it under Martinez. You have to be patient with it. We're not playing highlight football, are we? We're not playing 10 minutes. We're playing over 90 minutes. And we've got to work on the opposition. You draw them out. You keep possession. You don't give the ball away cheaply. There's nothing worse than giving a high-scoring team the ball all the time, is that if we lump it forward, they pick up the second balls and they're back at us. We've seen this time and time again during the years, you know, when we've had different managers in charge and we're under pressure all the time. Excuse me. As soon as you see the ball on the floor moving about, and when it produces goals like yesterday and opportunities like Paul said, and you said, Charlie, about Jordan Jones when he's playing for us, you know, how exciting he is. I'm looking forward to next season.
You've got two options with this football styles, haven't you? You can either knock it long and see what you get and occasionally get a goal, or you can try and build from the back. So if you're trying to build from the back, you find your back foot knocking the ball about just outside your 18-yard box. You know, you have to be patient and wait to go somewhere. If you oof it, yeah, you get up the other end of the pitch, but you lose it half the time. And then what you find you're doing is you find you're watching the opposition back four knocking about just outside your 18-yard box. I'd rather watch our lads knock it about.
People just want to see exciting football non-stop, don't they? And that shots on target and balls running into the box. But I mean, Liam Richardson gives a little bit of that, didn't he? And people were critical of that because it was like percentage, what I call percentage football, with oofing it long and hoping for the best, and we come unstuck with it in the championship because it weren't suited for there. So at least if we go up playing this type of football, it's more akin to the next level, and you get a bit more time on the ball. And it, you know, if you get all the teams at the club playing this way through the youth, for me, it can only benefit us long term playing like this. I think long ball football is a bit of a short-termism, and we've had seen enough of short-termism at Wigan Athletic. Let's get building for the future.
I think yesterday as well showed that we're playing smart. I think that yesterday was probably our best game of being able to play smart, see a result out. And to be honest, if Charlie Hughes's winner at the end didn't even happen, I would have been just as satisfied with that game than I am now, even after he scored the winner, because I thought we played brilliant. Even if Lincoln went and nicked a winner at the end, I still think I would have said that we played brilliant. And it was that just playing smart. Even when you're looking at Joe Taylor's second offside goal, Jason Kerr stepped up at exactly the right moment, and him and Hughes had the right understanding of each other yesterday, which I think I was quite happy that Hughes had somebody alongside him he could have that understanding with. I'm not too sure that he had it all the time with Charlie Goode, but yeah, we played very smart yesterday, and that was the most enjoyable. So,
You mentioned Charlie Goode there, and I mentioned him earlier. There's rumours going around. The rumour is he's gone back to Brentford, and we've seen the last of Charlie Goode, and just thanks for his time and effort with us. But that's it. And I do think we are better playing with Jason Kerr, and if not, Liam Morrison. And I think when Morrison came on yesterday, he was superb. He really was. And I do like Liam Morrison. Up against all hope that we could bring him in on a full-time deal in the summer. Who knows? You never know. Maybe that's why we've not been playing him. We're keeping him under wraps, ready for next season.
hopefully. I mean, I know people who are in the club listening to this podcast. So this is a public service announcement. Sign Liam Morrison against all odds. Do whatever you can to sign him. And there was a funny bit that Gregor Rijk said in the game. He was saying that when he first became sporting director, Sean Maloney said to him that your first job is to call Bayern Munich, get them on the phone and get Liam Morrison in on loan. So call Bayern Munich, get him on the phone and get him on a permanent because I want to see him there next year.
Yeah, be a great addition. A great addition. I'll tell you what as well. I mean, I've been saying that we're on the beach, and Sean Maloney said we're on the beach, but yesterday we picked up five yellows. And I tell you what, yesterday we went on the beach, and there was a bit of a skirmish towards the end of the game. It was instigated by Lincoln because they all spat the dummies out. Joe Taylor, got to mention Joe Taylor as well. I thought he was a fabulous player. You know, he went off. He had a mini stop when he went off. We'll come to your story in a moment, Charlie, about Joe Taylor. Then it all kicked off. I'm not sure whether it was Chris C who'd started something with one of the centre backs, but there was a lot of pushing and shoving going on. It showed that there was a desire there to fight for each other. It really was. And I love seeing that. I really do. And I know we picked up five bookings and we're heading that chart of the nastiest team in League One by a mile now. Good. Let's do it again next season as well. So, Charlie, what's your story about Joe Taylor?
Well, it comes from Gregory Ark, and I'll be honest, having listened to the commentary of Gregory Ark, it does feel like you're getting insider information because of how much he was giving away. But he was talking about Joe Taylor, and I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me right, he said that we had the option to sign Joe Taylor in the summer in on loan because Luton Town wanted to send him somewhere, and Gregory Ark's got good connections there. And it sounded like somebody called Gregory Ark and said, "We have this 21-year-old striker, Joe Taylor, if you want to have him." And we said, "No, we've got enough forwards. We're all right. We'll pass." And Joe Taylor scored a fair few goals in League One, and he makes this league look quite easy. So what could have been? Who knows?
Take him next year when we've got the space.
He is a good player. I mean, I know other fans give him a bit of stick yesterday, but it did frighten me. He looks a good player. Tell you what else I thought yesterday, which was very beneficial towards us, the state of the pitch. It's like a bowling green, and it was made for Wigan Athletic. Maybe next year when we play Lincoln, if they don't go up, they'll turn it into a ploughed field. But it did. It really, there was no bobbles. It was just so conducive to the way we play football on the deck. Lovely surface. Let's get our playing surface back to that standard again.
Yeah, Maloney said that he wants to focus on helping the groundsman get the pitch the way we want to play it. But obviously, with a lot of things that happened with the ownership and the money situations, we just couldn't maintain the field as we wanted to. I know the ground staff had a lot of problems and barriers that they had to try and get through. So the pitch is as good as it can be, but it's far from perfect. But that's through no fault of the ground staff at all. So I know Maloney's very keen on improving it for next year.
Stats from yesterday's game. Latics 65% possession. Attempts, Lincoln 14 to Latics 12. We had 5 on target. Lincoln had 3. Corners 6-2 in Latics' favour. Fouls, Lincoln committed 12, the Latics 14. Lincoln picked up 6 yellow cards. Ooh, they are nasty. Latics picked up 5, so were we. The bookings were for Marshall Godot because he wouldn't leave the pitch at the near side. He wanted to take his time walking across. Josh McGuinness for getting involved in some fisticuffs. Charlie Hughes, Stevie Sessegnon, Matt Smith for another rugby tackle. He does love those rugby tackles, doesn't he? He really does. And he did another one yesterday. Well done, Matty. That's what I'll say. The goals came from Johnny Smith on 20. Charlie Hughes right at the death on 90 minutes. And what a corker that was. It's a first-time volley into the back of the net where all the Latics fans were. Absolutely sensational scenes. And Mandrewe on 40 minutes for Lincoln.
The only thing I'll say about their goal is there was warning shots before because that wasn't the first one that Mandrew had. I think he'd had two or three before it as well. The other players had a couple of long shots, so they were trying it, and they've definitely got the ability to do so. And obviously, this one pulled off. We could have done better, but after that, I think it woke us up a little bit so that we responded well, which is the most important thing.
Yes, indeed we did. The subs, Chris C came on for Shelley Kelvin on 57 minutes. Scotty Smith for Johnny Smith, just to keep the Smith number up on 64 minutes. And then we had Morrison and McGuinness for Kieran Godot on 71 minutes. Latics man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter. Captain for the day, number 6, Charlie Hughes, scorer of the winning goal. Absolutely sensational yesterday, I thought, was Charlie. He had a top game, and it just shows how well he plays when he's playing with somebody who can complement, you know, his own playing style. So fabulous stuff. Great atmosphere at Lincoln. The fan zone, superb. Outdoors, I don't know what happens if it's raining or inclement weather during winter or whatever, but it was a fabulous atmosphere yesterday. All fans mingling together. After the game, the fans were very complimentary to us. They were very magnanimous in defeat. There was some important games played by our loanees yesterday, one of the guys we out on loan.
Our Latics loanee, Joe Adams, he was benched on the Morecambe game. They were travelling away at Stockport County. Always going to be a very difficult game. Stockport County are now a League One side because they got a 2-0 win, so they're now promoted. Morecambe, though, docked 3 points by the EFL in the last week, so that's them out of the playoff race, especially now with this loss. So unfortunately, they'll be a League Two side for another season. Charlie Wyke played the last 4 minutes of the Rotherham 1-0 loss away at Swansea. They're definitely a League One side. They're already relegated. Charlie Wyke may be with them next season, I'm not too sure. Luke Robinson started for St Johnstone in the final regular season game of the Scottish Premiership. They lost 2-0 against Kilmarnock, and now they go into a league split, so the top six and the bottom six split, and they have the little, I don't know what they do over there. It's a bit of a strange system that I don't fully understand, but I'm sure it'll make sense to them. James Carragher was not involved for Inverness Caledonian Thistle. They won 1-0 away at Queen's Park in the Scottish Championship. They needed that win to try and get out of the relegation playoff round. And Ayr United, Harry McHugh started and they won 5-0. And it was subbed off after about an hour or so. So that's a huge win for Harry McHugh and Ayr United. Oxford City in the National League, already relegated. Tom Watson started in goal. Kept a clean sheet, got man of the match, so that's very impressive. And Ethan Mitchell started for AFC Fylde, but they lost 2-0 at home to Southend United, who are eighth and gunning for the playoffs. So that was always going to be a very difficult game. But Fylde, I think, are pretty much safe anyway. So maybe they just need one extra point or another win. So there was a lot of low knees in action yesterday.
The under-21s played Hull, lost 2-1.
I was at Christopher Park, I think, and we had four trialists in that side. I know one of the trialists played last time against Cardiff City, but we've had another three that have come in. I know one of them's from Burnley, which is where Jack Bates came from as well, who's actually a Wigan Athletic player now. So yeah, four trialists. Leo Graham, Yusuf Chentouf, Troy Malunda and Matt Wanacott were on the bench. And Leo Graham came off the bench to score in the second half, but we'd already conceded two in the first half. So we lost that one 2-1. But Hull City are a great side. And last year, we lost out in the playoff round to Hull City on goal difference. So we didn't quite make it. They went up with Sheffield United. We ended up staying in the regular season. So Hull City are a very good side.
And if you fancy watching the under-21s, they are at the DW Stadium on Monday. 1 p.m. kickoff, free entry. They play AFC Bournemouth. Future Fund and Future Fund Day season ticket holders match the Bristol Rovers. What that means is that if you're a season ticket holder or part of the Future Fund, the new one or the old one, you're entitled to two tickets for this game. I think you can only get them online, and I'm not sure if that means you'll get charged for them because there's a booking fee when you buy online. Just a reminder that our Player of the Season, the closing date for it is Thursday, the 18th of April, which is Thursday this week coming. Just vote for you to the guy you want. There's two streaking away at the moment, with one keeping a close tag to them, but there's been quite a few players voted for. To vote, just send an email to pwupots@gmail.com with the name of your nominee.
Have you had any votes from parents this year?
Well, I'm not saying which player, but though I have a vote from somebody with the same surname as somebody. It's a very common surname, is the horse. Some massive games coming up this week. The relegation and playoff positions, I'd be very nervous if I was involved in any of those. The big games this week, Norwich play Shrewsbury, Bristol Rovers, Cambridge, Burton and Cheltenham. My goodness. Oxford and Lincoln. Wow. Peterborough v Fleetwood, Port Vale, Wickham, and Portsmouth play Barnsley. Let's hope that they win that game, win the championship, and go on the ale until we play them on Saturday. I think you only need 1 point for promotion, 2 points for the title.
Lange was loving it yesterday at the Tough Sheet. I don't know if anybody's seen the video of when he tried to get subbed off and he stood in the centre circle clapping. A Bolton player tried to push him off and Lang stumbled a couple of yards and then carried on standing there clapping. So he was laughing it up yesterday. He loves it playing there.
Stockport and Wrexham have already been promoted up, so we'll be playing those two sides next season. Mansfield will join them with a win on Tuesday, but due to the goal difference, a point will be enough to see them up anyway. I think they've got three games left, so it looks like Mansfield are coming up. We'll be back on Wednesday with a look ahead to our trip south to Portsmouth. So until then, up the ticks, come on.
Come
up
on.
Up the ticks, come on.